When we look at the Christian faith and try to figure out what's unique about what we believe, we can come up with any number of answers. Of course, you know, our belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he's God become man, is at the heart of our faith, as well as the doctrine of the Trinity. But when it comes to the demands of our faith on the way we act, I think the two things that are most different from the world in which we live and from even other world religions is our understanding of what it means to love selflessly after the pattern of Jesus who died on the cross for us, and then the unique understanding we have of forgiveness. I belong to a religious order, the Capuchin Franciscans, and back in the 1950s, we were asked by the Holy See to take on a new mission in the Pacific, in Papua New Guinea. We were the first, what they referred to as European or white people among the local Papua New Guinea people. And one of the things that the missionaries quickly discovered is how afraid people were. You know, people would be born, and they'd grow up and they'd die, never moving more than 3 or 4 miles from their village. And the reason why they did that is because they were afraid of their neighbors. There was this vengeance that took place in people's relationships with one another. There was never any forgiveness, and if you risk crossing the border into someone else's territory, you were risking your life. So one of the hardest things that the missionaries had to do was to teach people to really believe what our scriptures tell us about forgiveness. Now, you and I grew up in an environment where we've heard the story of in today's gospel many times, and we know we're supposed to forgive our neighbors, and we know we pray the Our Father. Every time we pray the Our Father, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We've heard this many times before. But I think what the church wants us to do as we pay attention to today's scripture readings is try to learn the damage that's done by anger in our lives and how we're called to move from anger to forgiveness. So let's look at today's scripture readings to see what God requires of us. Our first reading is from the Old Testament. So the Christian understanding of forgiveness is not something simply new. It's something that has its roots in the Judeo-Christian tradition, in the Jewish scriptures. And let's look at this reading rather carefully. It begins by telling us, "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight." What is wrath? And we know what anger is, I think, because we've all experienced it. I don't know if many of us here have experienced the technical definition of wrath. Wrath is furious, vindictive anger. Furious means it's just out of control. And vindictive means you want to pay someone back for having hurt you. And we're told in this reading that despite the damage that does to others and even to our own hearts, we human beings hug them tight. We don't want to give up our anger and our vindictive spirit. And then there's a challenge that comes after that. The writer says, "The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail." You know, God knows our sins better than we know them. He knows them in detail. And you've heard the saying, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Well, we're kind of told that in different words here, that if we are vengeful, God will remember. That means we're hateful towards our neighbor and vindictive. God will remember that. "Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven." Know that the way we seek forgiveness is by being forgiving. And if we're not forgiving towards others, it's stupid of us to ask God to forgive us. Could anyone nourish anger? You know, we nourish those bad things in our hearts against another and expect healing from the Lord. But we're like that, aren't we? It's quite surprising how we say one thing but act in a different kind of way. You know, sometimes we even cherish our anger. It's something that we get a certain kind of pleasure in. And we're encouraged by this reading to overlook the faults of our neighbor rather than focus on them. So that's the Old Testament reading, which helps us to understand today's gospel. So let's look at this passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Now, Peter, who represents the church, those of us who are disciples of Jesus, approached Jesus with a question. You know, it was a rabbinic tradition in those days that Jewish people had the responsibility of forgiving each other three times. That was kind of the outward limit of forgiveness. If your neighbor sins against you once, you should forgive them. If they sin against you twice, you forgive them. When they do it three times, well, that's just right on the edge, and that's just about the limit of forgiveness. So Peter comes to Jesus, knowing that Judeo-tradition, and says to him, how many times must a brother forgive his brother? Seven times? You know, Peter thought he was being generous, because that was twice as much plus one than was the tradition among the Jews. And in response, Jesus says to Peter, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, another way of translating this from the Greek would be the old translation. Those of us who are older remember, it said 70 times, seven times, which is 490 times, which is a lot of forgiveness, because we usually forget our memory after 30 times. That means we just don't count the number of times that we're called by God to forgive our neighbor. And then Jesus, in order to illustrate concretely what he meant by that challenge that he gave to Peter, tells a story, which is an extraordinary story of God's extravagant generosity when it comes to forgiveness. So let's look at the story. That is why the kingdom of heaven is a place where God reigns. So where God is reigning among his people, this is what it's like, Jesus says. This is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Now, that's a translation of the Greek, which actually says, who owed him 10,000 talents. And if you calculate how much money that was, that's 60 million daily wages. 60 million daily wages, the amount of money that 60 million people would make if they worked for a day, which is somewhere between $2 and $3 billion. So Jesus is talking about a huge amount of money that the servant owed the master. Since he had no way of paying it back, the master ordered him to be sold along with his family. That's what they did in those days. And at that, the servant fell down and did him homage and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Now, there's no way he could possibly pay that kind of money back in full. But the master was very generous in granting forgiveness. And the man went away. Now, that's a wonderful story, isn't it? Symbolizing the generosity of God. But then the real heart of the story is the next part. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. And that amount, if you look at the literal translation of the Greek, would be 100 days' wages compared to 600 million days' wages, okay? Which was 600,000 times smaller than what he owed the master himself. But he wouldn't forgive the fault, the debt of his brother who owed him so little. And then Jesus tells the story that when the rest of the servants heard what happened, they reported him to the master, and the master brought him back in and threw him back in jail. and told him that he wouldn't get out until he paid back what he owed, which would be impossible. But then the final line of this gospel passage is very, very important. Because Jesus says to you and to me who hear this story, when it talks about the punishment that's going to happen to this unforgiving servant, "Thus my heavenly Father will do to you unless each one of you forgives your brother from your heart." So, let's look at this in terms of our own personal life. Are there people that you are angry at tonight that you haven't yet forgiven because they've hurt you seriously? And if there are, what are you going to do about it as a disciple of Jesus? Now, I hear confessions, as you know, every Sunday evening here before Mass, and oftentimes people will come to me and confess that they're really angry, and they've been angry for years because their parents had done something bad to them, or they had been mistreated by their employer, things had gone bad in their family, all kinds of terrible things happen. And they really feel badly that they cannot forgive their neighbor. So it's important for us to understand that to forgive someone doesn't mean you feel right about it or that you act as though it didn't happen. You know, there's no indication in this story that the king gave responsibilities back to the man who had stolen all that money. He forgave him, but his relationship was changed. So when we forgive someone, it doesn't mean that we forget what they did, right? Like, for example, if you were divorced by your husband and your family was abandoned, should there ever be a time you feel good about that? Absolutely not. And that's not what forgiveness means. But forgiveness means that you really wish well that husband who had abandoned you and you hope for his salvation. And if you aren't willing to do that, then you haven't forgiven as Jesus challenges us to forgive in today's gospel. So forgiveness is not a matter of how we feel, it's our attitude towards others that's at stake. Do we really wish them well, even if they had harmed us? Or are we vengeful, vindictive? We want to pay them back, we want them to suffer. And that's not part of the plan of God. You know, all of us, as we stand before the throne of God, are debtors. And debt to God for everything. St. Paul tells us that in today's second reading, which is from the letter to the Romans. He says to us, "Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." So even our existence is a debt we owe to God. Right? He doesn't owe us anything. And debts are to be paid back, right? And we have to pay God back. The debt of our existence is to pay God back with good lives of generosity and love, lives of forgiveness that reflect the forgiveness of Almighty God. Now, it's obvious that this king was extravagant in his forgiveness, right? He forgave, even though it's not possible for the man to pay back. And God is extravagant with us beyond reason in his forgiveness of our sins. We ask the Lord to give us a touch of that forgiveness so that we might try to be as generous in forgiving others as God has been generous in forgiving us. And how that would change the world, right? Because all the problems in the world today are similar to that problem in Papua New Guinea that I talked about at the beginning, where we are afraid of our neighbors. You know, the battle between our country and other countries, right? The impossibility of the Democrats working with Republicans these days in our government. I mean, all of these things are caused by anger and unwillingness to trust and to forgive. And the only answer to those kind of problems is the kind of forgiveness that we find revealed to us in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. So may God bring to completion in our hearts the lesson that he teaches us in today's reading.